T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Chief Medical Officer at Oshai Children's Hospital. Always thank Dr. Turkovich for coming on and giving us the picture, especially when it comes to COVID and kids. And Dr. Turkovich, before we get into a lot of the news that we brought you on for, always like to start with, what that current picture is. Are you able to share with us what the number is of children currently being treated for COVID at Oshai?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. So we currently have 4 children in the hospital with COVID. One of those children is actually in the ICU requiring non-invasive mechanical ventilation. But for the month of September thus far, we've had about 15 people admitted. 4 of them were pregnant women. The remainder were children. Unfortunately, all of them that have been admitted that were eligible to be vaccinated have not been fully vaccinated. And those younger children's parents had not been vaccinated. So we do know, again, further proof that vaccination will not only help those that are vaccinated, but also those younger children that are not vaccinated. It will prevent them from getting illness.
Generally speaking, whether it's in the past month or, maybe going even further back than that, I feel like a lot of what we're seeing around the country, when you dig into the data, kids are often, lumped into one group, right? It's anyone 16 and under or anyone 18 and under, and there's such a wide range there. And then generally what we're seeing is, when you look a little bit more into it, most or half, it seems like, of the children's hospitalizations are, in the at least 12 to 18 range, or maybe even 16 to 18 range. So definitely at the older spectrum or older part of that spectrum. Are we seeing a similar thing in Buffalo?
Yeah, the children that seem to get the sickest and require the ICU care are the teenagers. So again, they're eligible to be vaccinated. We strongly encourage it. We have seen, though, a range of anywhere from 3 weeks old all the way up until 18 years. So it is certainly a spectrum. But we do have a good number of kids that are teenage year age that are admitted.
Dr. Turkovich, with news that the Pfizer vaccine may be available for 5 to 11-year-olds, possibly around Halloween, some very tough decisions are ahead for parents. These are probably tougher decisions than they even had to make for themselves with this vaccine. As a physician and as a father, first, would you have your children get the shot? And what questions should parents be asking?
Yeah, absolutely. When it's approved by the FDA and the CDC, I'm absolutely going to get my children vaccinated. The CDC and the FDA have a very clear, proven process that will look at all of the data, both within their organizations and through independent advisory panels, as we saw last week with the booster recommendation. And so they're looking at all of the data. They're looking at the safety and the efficacy. And from a safety perspective, they're looking at how frequent those safety events are. And in this study of almost 2,300 children 5 to 11 years old, they did not see any serious safety events. And if you remember, one of the more concerning safety events that we did see early on with some younger kids who were vaccinated was myocarditis, which is that inflammation of the heart. Now, they did not see any of that in this study. Good news is they didn't see it. If it were to occur, it would be very, very, very rare. Now, you flip that and you look at the risks and the benefits. Myocarditis is actually, you have a higher risk of getting that from COVID than you did from the vaccine when you saw that in the 12 and above year olds. So, it's really important. I think you should always have the conversation with your pediatrician, because they can certainly take your child's clinical care and his history into context and layer in your questions and concerns in that conversation. But I have 100% confidence in the FDA and the CDC. And once it's approved, my children will be vaccinated.
There is definitely a different risk-benefit analysis, though, right? When it comes to this age group, 5 to 11 versus, you know, you can just look at the numbers, you know, 65 plus, it's a 90% of people in, I think, across the state have gotten the vaccine because it's kind of a no-brainer, right, in that age group. But as you get younger and younger, all these risk calculations change, especially when it's, you know, as young as 5 years old. And then I'm sure we'll even be talking younger than that in the future. How does that change? How is the conversation different? Because you look at the vaccine for adults, and the great part of it that we tell everybody is it's, you know, whatever percent effective of keeping you out of the hospital, keeping you from dying. And you can look at kids in the same age and say, well, just from being young or being a certain age, you might have that same level of protection as a vaccinated adult or even greater.
Yeah, it is a little bit challenging. I think you want to look at the outcome. So clearly, you know, death is a terrible outcome. And we did unfortunately see that with the older population. So from a protection from the vaccine perspective, you know, that risk-benefit calculation really does look at that particular outcome more so in the adults. But there's other outcomes we want to look at for kids, the first one being the acute illness. You know, we have had 40 children admitted to the ICU since the pandemic started. So kids can get critically ill. Some of them were admitted because of acute COVID, and some of them were admitted because of the multi-system inflammatory syndrome that kids get. And those kids were really, really sick. So although it's not a large number, it is a good enough number that it does worry me. And then the last outcome you want to look at is the long hauler syndrome. And that's what worries me the most, because I wouldn't want to rob my child of the physical activity and endurance, cognitive ability for the rest of their life because of a COVID infection that may even be asymptomatic or very mild initially. So understand that the risk-benefit ratio is a very important consideration, but you want to look at those multiple different outcome points when you look at that risk-benefit ratio.
It is going to be the chief pushback or argument, I would imagine, because it's what we've seen in other age groups by people who do not want their kids to be vaccinated, is that idea of we don't know the long-term implications of vaccination. We don't know if there are any long-term side effects. You mentioned from COVID, long-hauler symptom or long-term side effects. I think for people looking at this, they would ask, well, we have a lot of data on the vaccine, but we have probably even more data, a year and a half or so, of people who have had COVID and what the long-term side effect is of that. What can you use to say to people that we are more sure of there being a lack of long-term side effects with the vaccine, even though it's only been out for 6 months or so?
So if you look at vaccine science, which has been around for, you know, many, many decades, we know that any significant side effects from a vaccine generally occur within the 2 months of receiving the vaccine. So, you know, clearly we've had many more months of that with vaccines in arms across the country and across the world. And we have not seen those really significant common side effects that would make us worried. So at the end of the day, as you pointed out, we do know now the long-term effects of COVID, at least a year or so out, and those have been proven in the literature. We have not seen those long-term consequences from the vaccine, either at the two-month mark or beyond the 2 months. The only thing we've seen from vaccines is the continued benefit to protect you from serious illness and hospitalization.
Dr. Turkovich, is this shot for kids, is it a one-shot or is it a two-shot series? And we heard one-third of the dosage that adults have been receiving. Talk about how they arrived at that.
So you're correct. The dose for adults is 30 micrograms. The dose for children 5 to 11 is 10 micrograms. It's because kids actually have a really good immune system, and so they're going to develop a robust immune response based upon a lower dose. The number of neutralizing antibodies that children in this age range develop is comparable to those 16 to 25 with a dose that's three times as high. It is a two-dose series, just like the Pfizer vaccine that's currently available, separated by 21 days or 3 weeks. So very similar in terms of interval, but a third of the dose.
when we're looking at that dosage, why stop there? Why is it not a fourth? Do you have any insight as to how this number was came to on, you know, a third of what the adult dose is?
Yeah, so they chose a few different dosage for kids, and we know historically that generally kids will need a lower dose. If you look at the flu vaccine, when you're a younger child, you're going to get a lower dose of the flu vaccine than adults and even kids that are a little bit older. So the history of vaccines and vaccine science has proven that kids generally need a lower dose. So they chose a few different intervals, and in their studies and looking at the safety and efficacy, especially the neutralizing antibodies and the side effects, this was the sweet spot at the 10 micrograms.
When you're talking about the risk and benefit analysis of this and how it is different across age groups, and you talked about it in children, and mentioning the kids' robust, you know, immunity and immune response system, does your opinion on whether or not to get vaccinated, if you're in, you know, if you are 5, 6, 7 years old, does it change if that child has been infected with COVID before?
No, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future when it comes to variants. And so you certainly could have been infected in the past. But if you don't get the vaccine and another variant comes out, you potentially could get that, you could get infected again. So as we all know, the story with COVID is a great unknown. It continues to surprise us. If we were to layer in the best protection, somebody who's had COVID in the past, the best protection for them moving forward is to receive the vaccine.
Do you expect that we will see some get the shot as soon as it's available for their children? Some will wait a short time. Some will ultimately refuse it. And if that happens the way it did with the adult and teen rollout, does that really help the big picture?
Well, you know, every shot in arm certainly gets us closer to that magical herd immunity. So if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, we were thinking maybe 60-70% would get us to the holy grail of herd immunity. But unfortunately, because of the Delta variant, that's probably much higher, closer to 80-90%. With this age group of children, we are going to increase the number of eligible people in the United States up to 94%. So that will allow us to get closer to those high levels of vaccination. But you're right. The studies have shown that some people will get it immediately, some will wait a little bit, and some will unfortunately potentially wait a long time and open up their children and themselves to potentially some negative consequences from the disease.
The idea of natural immunity, I think it's getting a little bit more attention as there's, you know, more and more studies kind of backing up a lot of countries going with, well, natural immunity can be part of your so-called immunity passport along with vaccination or a negative COVID test. Some saying that if you've had COVID in the past, maybe just one dose of the vaccine, and then you are perhaps more protected than somebody who's just vaccinated. You know, all these questions that people have, and there's a lot of people unsure in how natural immunity plus a vaccination or minus a vaccination really plays into your immune response. Is it maybe smart for some parents to look at all these options and kind of, you know, maybe take your time if you have a younger child to determine exactly what is the best case going forward?
Well, you know, you're right that there still are a number of unknown questions regarding COVID, especially when it comes to people that have gotten the virus and also people that got the virus that was the earlier strain or the original strain versus the Delta variant versus the other variants that are out there. And they all have different interplays with the immune system, and they all may have different degrees of long-term immunity in the immune system. So it is very difficult to know. When you have got nuanced questions like that, I always recommend to talk to your pediatrician about, you know, what your concerns and questions are. But what we do know from the literature is that if you were infected with COVID and then you got the doses of the vaccines that are recommended, the one for Johnson & Johnson or the two for Pfizer and Moderna, that you do have a very durable, long-lasting immunity as far as we know. Now, you obviously may need a booster shot, or in the future we may say booster shots are only for those people who did not have COVID in the past. But those are all questions that are going to have to be answered over the next several years as we continue to fight COVID.
Is it most important that children who are immune compromised get this shot right away?
Yeah, so children that are immunocompromised or on immunosuppressive drugs like chemotherapy and other things for chronic illnesses certainly are at higher risk for COVID. Children with developmental disabilities, specifically Down syndrome and other disorders that have children have weakened immune systems, are really, really vulnerable. So that's another reason why it's important for all of us that are eligible to be vaccinated, get vaccinated, so we can cocoon them around vaccinated individuals and protect them until they're eligible to be vaccinated. And then, as we know, in adults, people that are immunocompromised may require additional doses in order to get their immune response up to the level that is protected.
We know that, I mean, if you can get a bus, kids are back in school, and we're doing that as best as possible. But there's still, you know, many rules, whether it's the masking or whether it's these quarantine rules that are, you know, in many cases forcing kids who do not have COVID out of a classroom for maybe more than a week of classes at sometimes just because somebody else might have been infected who they could have been in the same room with. How long after this vaccine is approved should we be revisiting a lot of these rules to try and get kids closer to that normal?
That's a great question. You know, I think a lot of that is going to depend upon how prevalent the disease is in the community. So if we can continue to drive down rates to lower transmission, then I think it's reasonable to think about starting to relax some of those, that layered approach. If I were to predict, the last thing that will likely be removed would be masking, because that is the most important. But as we said in the past, COVID is unpredictable. A lot of this will be dependent upon how quickly we can get the rates down. We do know that the number of cases in kids always runs parallel to the total number of cases in the community. So anything we can do to decrease the rates in the community will certainly help us get back to a much more normal environment in schools and elsewhere.
Dr. Turkovich, we appreciate your time very much. Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Chief Medical Officer at Oshai Children's Hospital.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.